אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
We're reading in the book, The Writings of Rabash. First volume, page 84. In English, it's in The Writings of Rabash, page 78. In the article, Make for Yourself a Rav and Buy Yourself a Friend 2, titled Between Man and the Creator, you can ask questions at kab.info and selected questions will be aired live.
Because the whole process we're going through, as it is defined in the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the revelation of the Creator to His creatures in this world, so we work before the Creator. Double concealment, single concealment, revelation, general revelation, and whole revelation. Four steps, stages that we go through. And therefore, what we read in all sorts of places, in all the stages, we have either Kabbalah writings or things that are written by Kabbalists, by those who have attained, whether it's in the language of the Torah or the Talmud or the Haggadah. Then we need to understand that this all comes to us only in relation towards the Creator. We have nothing else to relate to, because we include within us all the reality, all of humanity, the whole world. We have to see things as it is all in me. I have to relate to it in love and in wholeness, as it's one thing. And then to correct my point, which is the I, which is this point is I, and then by doing so, I carry out or execute, establish my attitude towards the upper force that there is none else besides Him. Within this reality, which I associate already more and more to myself, in this I define my attitude towards the upper force, to the Creator, in that there is none else besides Him, and the point in which I feel myself, the point of separation, was given to me so that I will be able to, through the world, express my attitude towards it. Therefore, when we talk about a friend, the group, humanity, like he says here, the relations between a man and the Rav, between a man and a friend, a man to any other person. So we're talking about towards the Creator, all in all, because only with Him we need to actually reach an arrangement.
Between man and the Creator. Between man and the Creator, the order begins with make for yourself a Rav, and afterwards buy yourself a friend. In other words, one first must believe above reason that the Creator is great. As written in the Zohar, fear, which is the rudiment, means that man should fear his master because he is great and ruling. To the extent that one believes in the greatness of the Creator, who is called great, Rav, he has the strength to give to the buy, meaning to buy through conceding self-love, in order to achieve equivalence of form called dvekut, adhesion, with the Creator. And this is called a chaver, friend, one who is in chibur, bonding, connection, with the Creator. When buying corporeal things, we must relinquish money, honor, or simply make an effort to obtain it. Similarly, when a person wishes to buy bonding with the Creator, he must relinquish self-love, because otherwise he cannot achieve equivalence of form. When one sees that he is unfit to make concessions to buy the equivalence of form, it is not because he was born with a weak character and hence cannot overcome his self-love. Rather, the fault is in make for yourself a rav, meaning that he is not working on the faith, since he will be able to make concessions according to the importance of his faith in the greatness of the Creator. Moreover, one should know that if he wishes to measure his degree of faith, he can see it in the degree of concessions he can make in self-love. Then he'll know his degree in the work of faith above reason. This applies between men and the Creator.
Questions? I don't know what to add. It seems like some heard and some haven't.
What is this concession about self-love that he talks about here?
What's written?
He writes that one has to make concessions over self-love in order to reach equivalence of form, which is called dvekut, which is chaver.
Well, chaver, friend, from the word chibur, connection. Buy yourself a friend is me, through my investment, I reach a state in which I acquire a friend. I buy a friend, and he becomes a friend to me. He's connected to me, and I'm connected to him. Purchase or acquirement is, or buying is an investment in our work. I invest and invest and invest in getting closer to him, in the end, I reach a connection, and he becomes a friend. With that, I need to be concerned that I will get closer to him. In order to get closer to him, I have to make sure that he will be to me like a rav and great. Otherwise, I don't have the appreciation of the quality of bestowal above the quality of reception. The quality of reception is me. The quality of bestowal is him. How I appreciate him more than myself. So I need to make all sorts of actions in order to appreciate him above myself. If I don't have this quality, then therefore all sorts of means are given, like the group, the study, and then I can, through this, start to change. But I choose the path in which I'm going to change in adapting myself towards him, so that I will appreciate his quality more than my quality, and then I will really be able to acquire this quality by the light bestowing towards me and influencing me. There's the influence of the reforming light and the degrees of still vegetative inanimate that we just work with in such a way, and it kind of works. We see, we all enter a sense into sense. But when I start already to relate to the quality of bestowal as a desirable thing, that this is what I want to acquire really, and I know that I don't have it, and I operate, I move in this direction, then this approach is already exertion above reason, because the exertion is for myself, and what I want to acquire is above my reason. And thus I change, until I change so much that I get closer to him, and he more and more becomes for me. He remains as a rav, as big, as great, in this quality of bestowal. And I, in my getting closer to him, it's called that I buy myself a friend.
Yes, in this action of concession, what exactly does one relinquish when he writes that one concedes, relinquishes self-love? What exactly does he give up?
self-love is called self-benefit, self-reward. Each and every person has a price. Because he has the will to receive. And therefore you can always bribe him. There's no such thing as a person cannot concede something, can have some kind of concession. Because we're talking about a machine which is operated according to a specific quality, a certain attribute, a system which it's in, and this is how it works. So the program is arranged in such a way that he must, after all sorts of actions, connections, to no matter what, it's not important. The system is worked out in such a way that if it operates, there must be some place where you feel a plus. In some, what manner already, that's already different fashions. That's not important. But that's how it's planned. You can program it as such that this system will feel a plus from working in an upgrade, meaning in an opposite program than what it is, than itself. It uses all its ability with what there is, but it's the plus, the present plus is opposite the previous plus. In such an incident, we call it love. Compared to the previous state, which is called hatred. Why? Because always, if I want to receive something, it's at the expense of someone. Yeah. There's one kli, one light, there's a certain reserve of energy, let's say, depending on the laws of nature. So if there's here, then there's there, and so forth. So if I want to receive in me, it comes at the expense of the other. It's called hatred. In this hatred, there are many manners also, that it can be that I want to receive a plus so that he will have a minus, or I want to receive a plus and I don't care who he is or what he is. Or I want to receive a plus, and I want for him to, because it kind of diminishes my plus. Or I want to receive a plus, especially by joining him together into it. It depends on what plus is here. But it's all for my benefit. And there's another software, another program, that operates in such a manner that the moment you feel the other as yours, what does that mean? If you feel him as you, then it's like a mother and a baby, where it's also that same kli. The kilim are united or connected. Here the kilim are not connected. That same ego that filled between us in the shattering all the space, all the place, it does not disappear. Because if we will adhere above that, there will be no remnants to this shattering. Then in doing so, we annul, we cancel the evil inclination. We cancel the coarseness. And then by doing that, if I'm concerned to you, if concerned for you, it's like I'm concerned for me. It's natural. Then there's no difference between the two. The difference remains. It remains. But above this difference between us, we connect. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is hard to understand for people. That how could it be that these two extremes are in one place? So as we work on the connection between us above this gap. And therefore, the second software, the second program works in such a way that it doesn't take into account that now it's the expense of the other, it's like for me. And then you simply work according to that program. We only change one detail there, one piece of data there. X and me are like the same. No, X and me is not the same. It's more and more separate, and the more separate and distance they are, from extreme to extreme, whoever is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than him, just like Rabbi Shimon's students who wanted to hate and burn each other just before they sat for the Zohar. The shattering between us, and according to this, the program corrects the shattering, and above it creates such connections in our efforts that we cover above the resistance, we create a system of connection, meaning we actually build the world, we construct this system above the hatred between us. The hatred is revealed, we see all the fashions in it, all the forms of connection in order to take advantage of everyone. And then above this, we build a system of connection which is called love will cover all transgressions. As we build this system of connection, we build above this system of hatred, and the connection between us, compared to when there was no hatred before the shattering, 620 times more. The shattering obligates us to build a system of connection like before, but there must be a more powerful system, 620 times more powerful, so that we will skip above the hatred. You understand? But it remains. And here is the problem, that people who don't have a heart and a point in the heart, these two opposite things, are incapable of grasping how there can be these two opposite attributes in one topic. They can't get this, and therefore you cannot basically advertise this to the masses. Unless it's someone who has revealed inside of him the point in the heart. Therefore, Israel, those who long for this work, and for the are few.
What is the difference between concession and nullification?
Concession is a calculation that I do and I calculate what is worthwhile and what not. Nullification is that I don't want to be in my will to receive present in the phenomenon. I yes, my will to receive no. So what I want to be built in me is the quality of bestowal, and for me to identify with it, that it will be called Galgalta
Ve'inayim,
and I will identify with it. It's a true divine force from above, which I receive when I receive this quality of bestowal. This quality of bestowal is above the quality of reception in the Galgalta V9. Meaning, what does it really mean above? It clothes those desires or in that coarseness in which I don't yet feel myself as a receiver. We will find words for this.
בלבולים.
I can't express it yet. There will be confusions. So there's a difference between concession and nullification. Concession is that I want to only keep the... I'm sorry, nullification is that I only want to receive the quality bestowed. I don't have this quality in which I can exist without the will to receive that you created in me. This is nullification. Give me. I'm asking, I'm demanding this. And concession is a regular concession. That's still the will to receive, and he's willing to concede, and with percentages to here or to there. Yes? Why does he write that the measure of concession gives him a measure for above reason? How is that taken into calculation? If he is all time conceding, what is he?
Of course it is this way. Certainly, to the extent one concedes his will to receive, he assents. But you are asking about the concept of nullification. It's a concept. You see, what does he write about the concession? To the extent that this way, it will be that way. Meaning there is calculation. In nullification, there is no calculation. There's only one calculation. Simply erase me. Yes, Danny.
Make yourself a Rav, buy yourself a friend, is a very powerful tip in spiritual work.
Again, please.
It's like a certain very powerful exercise for inner work. Make yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. I see there's a certain mechanism that we're trying to grasp this rules here, and how within me there's a certain method for internal work, and then each time someone comes and confuses me with something else. Now the question is it right to try and make a certain order within, or to just try to grab onto every tip that comes our way and just go with it?
I don't know. I mean, try this way and that way. And
at the moment, from my place, I don't see how this, make yourself a Rav, buy yourself a friend before the Creator, and think of the friends as the same thing. At the moment, it doesn't seem to me like it's the same thing. I feel in a certain whirlpool here, a certain mix-up, and I'm trying to make some kind of order for myself.
To the extent that the friends become inseparable of you, to that extent, you can say that you have acquired a place that you are preparing for the revelation of the Creator.
Ken.
Yes.
Ken, Owen.
Owen.
Continue Kirk's self-life. Yeah, it seems by nullify our self-life, we reach the goal.
No,
by nullifying our self-love, we reach the goal.
Okay. It seems the path to reach our goal is by nullify our self-life.
It seems that by nullifying ourselves is the path towards reaching the goal.
But ultimately, when we reach that, actually we receive more for ourselves.
But when we reach it, it seems like we're receiving more for ourselves.
I don't know again, but it really confuses me what you did. Maybe you need to wait, maybe wait a little bit more in terms of the audio. But it seems to be going in all kinds of directions. It comes from different directions.
So this is a really big paradox.
From the end, we are still ultimate self-lover. We want us more, actually. We want to receive more and more.
יש פרדוקס בין זה שהדרך שלנו כולה בביטול.
The paradox between our path being between self-annulment and attaining it, it appears like we're receiving more for ourselves. It appears that we attain more by this.
We certainly receive more. We start to receive Naran Chai, but we receive it in the vessels of bestowal. So it's not considered reception, because the entire revelation of the Creator, we do it then in order to bring Him contentment. It's with respect to who is enjoying it. Who do I bring contentment? Myself or the Creator? The moment that I do it for the Creator, this is called bestowal, and then this Naran Chai is revealed.
Okay, another question also struck me a lot.
No.
Shaila nosefet.
When we really scrutinize with Zen reason, there's only two states, within reason or without reason.
אנחנו מבררים או בתוך הדעת או
we scrutinize within reason or above reason or without reason.
No.
Yes. What do we scrutinize?
אתם מתרגמים איזה חצי משפט או ככה הוא מדבר.
אז זה מה שהוא אומר.
You translate half a sentence or
what's the difference when talking about face above reason and face below reason? But these two scrutinizations, when we're talking...
What's the difference between these two scrutinies, above reason and below reason?
Can you just ask the whole question?
Okay. When we do something, always within our reason, we do something.
כשאנחנו עושים משהו, אנחנו עושים את זה עם דעת או בלי דעת.
Now we're okay, doing something out of reason.
עכשיו נגיד שאנחנו עושים משהו ללא דעת, ומתכוון במצב של ביטול.
Let's say we're doing now something without reason right now, in a state of nullification.
Nullification is without reason? I don't understand it.
But the religion also talk about by faith.
אבל דעת גם כן מדברת על אמונה.
Religion also talks about faith.
Understand what's above reason, below reason. Actually, there's only within reason or without reason.
כשאתה מדבר עם אנשים שהם רגילים לדעת, הם לא מבינים מה זה מעל הדעת, מתחת לדעת. הם מבינים...
When you speak to people that don't know about within reason or above reason, they understand within reason, meaning with reason or without.
That is true, because they don't receive the force of the light from above, which raises them to the spiritual degree, to a state where the calculation is the opposite. So what is the question?
Yeah, it's really difficult to for me to see the difference, but when we talking to when we disseminate, it's difficult to he say, okay, what's your above reason? You still don't attend, you cannot give me evidence how to prove your science.
הבעיה שלו זה עם הפצה.
In dissemination, it's forbidden for us to talk about it. No one will understand. They'll think that we're crazy. You cannot speak to a person on the street about what does nullification mean. For him, nullification means that he's asking of the upper force to make it better for him. That's it. But to ask of the upper force, to give him the force to not be able to not think about himself, that doesn't exist anywhere. It doesn't exist anywhere. Faith, what people are saying in the street, that's a different faith. I believe, even though I don't see, I don't know, but I believe that there is a single upper force, or maybe several, so several forces, it doesn't matter, that if I manage to get along with them, I'll be better off. And then I'm then I'm in this system of relationship with them or with him, doesn't matter what you call him up there. And usually they ascribe a certain image to it, something. We are talking about nullification, where we lose all of our vessels of reception, and above them we receive vessels of bestowal. And this is an action which can be done only through the upper force, and only a person who has the preparation for it in his reshimot can demand, can draw upon himself, invite upon himself the influence of the light, that this light would influence the reshimot in such a way that it will build in him this spiritual form. If you have reshimot, if you don't have reshimot, there's nothing to talk about. You can't talk to anybody about it. We are not just going to people and talking to them about spiritual work. To the whole world, we say, let's unite and we'll be better off. The crisis will be stopped. Everybody will be happy. We'll supply everyone food. We'll supply everyone clothes. We will live like friends. There will be peace and tranquility. And besides, in that connection between us, we will start discovering some unique force of unity, of mutual love. It will fill us up. That's what we talk to them about. You can't tell a person more, because more than that, he doesn't understand it. It is worthwhile. He doesn't have the deficiency for that. He doesn't have the reshimot. Only those people in which the reshimot from the shattering awaken, where the will to receive and the spark from the screen, the masach, the reflected light are included, where you have inside of the man a will to receive, and masach, screen, both of them. The reshimo of hitlabshut, clothing, and reshimo of aviut, coarseness. When he has both, then you can talk to him. These are just the reshimot. But if you invite the light that reforms through the study, through unity, bonding, and so on, when everybody unites, and other things, then the light builds from the reshimot a reality. But if there are no reshimot, there's nothing to talk about. Why should I turn to someone? I'm just going to drive him crazy. I speak to him, and he cannot understand, he cannot hear. It seems to him that it makes him feel bad, because you're trying to insert such things into him that he cannot accept, he cannot receive. He has neither the mind or the heart. It drives him crazy. Yes?
So, other people, they don't have reshimot or the reshimot not awakened yet.
So other people don't have awakened reshimot yet.
They haven't awakened. They will awaken only as a result of the crisis.
Sorry.
Repeat, please. All the people should have the ponder heart, right? Or only certain people have, or some people don't have.
So, do all people have a reshimot that have a point in the heart, or only some of them?
Everybody has it, but it depends on what place they're in. I didn't have it either, and he didn't have it until a certain time. And in our earlier incarnations, who knows, until a certain time comes, and then a person awakens. You have many people now in the world that are not awakening. And in a month, or 2 months, or whatever, they will awaken. We are disseminating. Why? Where we receive the permission from the upper light, according to its program to operate, then we operate. Until the time of the Ari, it was forbidden to open the wisdom of Kabbalah at all, to anyone. There was teacher and student, a chain like that. From the time of the Ari onwards, they opened up those things relatively. From our time, as Bala Sulam says, and onwards, it's open to everyone. Why? Because the Rashimot are emerging and they're being sorted out, scrutinized in a more and broad manner. And we've already reached the phase of the realization of the Rashimot. Earlier, it wasn't that way, so there was prohibition over the realization of those Rashimot. This is why we nowadays, but even now when we disseminate, if it weren't for the crisis, we would have disseminated only the wisdom of Kabbalah, and some people would come, a few, because there is an awakening of the Rashimot, they as if float. You have this Rashimot here, and then they float. And when Rashimot comes here, the Rashimot fit lapshut, then a person feels, I want to actualize it. But the inner Rashimot, he doesn't feel that he wants to actualize it. It's down there somewhere. It doesn't rise to the threshold of his sensation. And therefore, it's forbidden to do that for us. Therefore, we only disseminate bonding for the sake of peace, bonding for the sake of good supply, provisioning for each and every one, for the sake of health, for the sake of children's education, bonding for the family, for the correct, good family. It helps against divorce. Again, for better health. We need to develop all of these different manners in a simple way. By unity, by bonding, you will reach better health. That's one lane in our dissemination. Through bonding, through chibur, we reach a nicer family. That's another lane. Through bonding, we reach a better education. Through bonding, we reach whatever you want. Through chibur, bonding. That's the main thing. All kinds of things that by which people feel that it affects their lives, the lives of an ordinary person. And mainly today, through bonding, we will be able to pacify, calm down the economical crisis. So much so that you can start saying nowadays that through bonding, you reach a balance with nature. There's a lot of research about, concerning that, and you can even talk about that. You take all kinds of news of publications by scientists, and you use them, and you say, well, apparently that is how it is. Even by us bonding, even if you reach the balance between us, we even affect nature. Human society in all kinds of natures, that's obvious. We can see that it has an effect. One depends on the other. But nature? Yes. Nowadays we can even say that one depends on the other. The bonding between us affects nature. Nature depends on our unity. That's it. And then you reach the right dissemination towards the common people, towards the people, the masses. And I wish they hear in a completely rational manner. What do you mean, above reason, whatever? They're not going to understand what you're saying. Immediately he's going to tell you that you're not realistic. Oh, you're a good guy, you're talking about unity, but in such a way that, I don't quite get it. Where did he get that from? No, it's forbidden. It's forbidden to relate to it in such a way. I don't know, should I continue or... Well, we'll shorten the Zohar by 15 minutes. Yes, Mr. Croatia.
He's talking here in the article about believing and faith.
Well, faith means the force of bestowal. Faith equals bestowal.
And I need to do this above reason?
There cannot be faith which is not above reason. Faith within reason is that you are giving to someone, it's not even bestowing, you give him something in order to receive. This is called bestowing in order to receive, but it's just called this way. What bestowal is there in that? If you would have... if you would have wanted to, you could have simply not given. Or you give and you regret that you cannot give without receiving in return. This is also called that you're bestowing and receiving, but then in this case it turns out to be not in order to receive. You are receiving by necessity. There is the action. What is your intention in the action? To receive or to give contentment to that person? Now you can say, I very much want to please him. But if I didn't feel any pleasure for myself in that, I wouldn't be able to please him. So you can say, I want to give him contentment, because by that I feel good. There's the difference. Either you are acting, I mean, who is the receiver? Either you want him to enjoy, and you are simply the means, but in order to fill up the fuel in your own machine, you have to receive something. But you relate to it only as fuel. Or that you're using this person that you are giving to in order to fill up yourself. So then he is the fuel for you, and not you. You are the receiver. Well, yes.
How can you explain the relations between hatred between people, annulment, and love? As we're talking about clothing, can we focus between annulment, hatred, and love in that diagram?
There's everything in this sketch, but sometimes it's this way, sometimes it's that way. It depends on the state. This sketch doesn't say anything. It just says that you have a desire, and masach, and according to the masach, the desire for the work is revealed, where you keep the entire ratzon, the desire, under your control in a strong way, and then you open it up and raise it to the masach on the condition that you can work with the desire in a way that is opposite it. We don't yet understand what it is. It's truly opposite. It's above the nullification, above the hatred.
There is a certain order here.
Of course there is an order. First you have to undergo the tzimtzum, the restriction, as we call that. First I have to restrict myself, and then beyond the restriction, when I no longer have calculation for myself, see what kind of light I receive when I restrict myself, and you don't see on the person at all what are his intentions. He's relating to everyone and behaving in a way that is, and even more, you can't ascribe anything spiritual to him according to his behavior. So it turns out that following the tzimtzum, when you hold yourself, your entire will to receive underneath your control, you receive that ability, that force from the light. Following that, you begin to work with your will to receive, but in order to bestow. Inasmuch as you can ascribe your will to receive to the screen, and then it's not the coarseness, below the screen, rather the coarseness is added to the screen. Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, and that way you build coarseness above the screen. This is called that you're inserting the coarseness to the Or Chozer, reflected light, and then the reflected light becomes the Kli. And then above the Masach, you build your image as the bestower. And this is the main thing, the Rosh of the Pratzuf, which is built above the masach. This is the main thing. Why? Because we don't need more than that. Your attitude, this is what you give the Creator. Now, what is all of this obviate coarseness? The coarseness is, let's say, your attitude to the whole world. That's what you discover. Your coarseness. It's not that now you want to enjoy like some small individual animal all by itself. The coarseness that is revealed in this kli that we see here in the sketch is the hatred that you discover towards the parts that seem to you as alien, as foreign. And they seem to you this way as foreign, external, because you want to connect with them, to bond with them, to be truly together until there is no difference between you. And then you discover the hatred. And this brings you coarseness. Yes.
So what is the oviut of masach, the coarseness of the screen?
When you're able to work with the hatred as love. These things are very... I'm just speaking kind of approximately, not precisely, because there are many other discernments that are involved. But you can really insert the whole of reality into this picture. Yes.
Moshe from Krakow is asking, if we have no intention in bestowal, how can we work on faith?
We work as if, like children. Our faith is this way, our bestowal is this way. This is called the time of preparation. That's why it's called this way. We're engaging in simulation, as if. Until we reach through the study a state where we're already given something serious. When, first of all, we're given forces, and it is certain from above, through the system, that we won't cause harm to ourselves or to others, and then we're given an opportunity to bestow. In the force of reception, I have no problems. With the force of reception, I never leave my own boundaries. But with the force of bestowal, I can do many things, bad things.
Oren from Netanya is asking, Rav says that when you are annulling something in corporeality, we're annulling things like money and things to acquire things in corporeality. In spirituality, we have to annul our self-love. How can we make self-love something present so that we can acquire something that is above us?
No? The group, the study, and requests that a person can raise through his efforts in the group and in the study.
No.
Well?
No, no.
Give it to him.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
According to the diagram that we had here, when the point in the heart is awakened and comes to the screen, is there a state in which it can fall down again?
Yes. It's written, don't believe in yourself until the day you die. Until your will to receive dies, and it is all been below the masach, don't believe in yourself that you already are in control. Even later, don't believe it, but later you already have the connection with the Creator, and that saves you.
So what's the difference between before the awakening And afterwards, when we drop from that, when the point in the heart is awakened and then it's fallen.
No. What you are calling awakenings, meaning ascents and descents, that's all within the will to receive in order to bring it to the work. That's something else. Let's say that you have a pump. Let's do it like that, like a pump. You have a piston. You have something like that, and it goes down and down and down, and then it starts ejecting whatever is there out to the outside. And so when it comes down, then the air comes out from here, and then you shut the valve, let's say, and then when you bring it out, there is a vacuum here, and then all the matter that you have here, or part of it, comes out. And when it comes out, into you, into your vessel. And then you build the masach on top of it. Each time that you are in this is called the Yirida and Aliyah, descent and ascent. So you have it, either going up or down. Then you bring out some matter from the outside, from the inside, bring it out to the work. Then it comes here to the right side and goes into the work. Here is your kli. This is a desire ready for work. Ratzon muchan le'avoda. That's it. Something like that. And here you have all of your desire. Ratzon d'Einsof, the infinite desire. Is that clear? How it works? Like that, you're pumping out through the pump. You bring it out, and this is through the ascents and descents. Well, we'll move on to the Zohar.
Let's move to the next part of the lesson.